You can turn with me to our scripture reading, which comes from Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And this is reading of God's word. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women, our company, amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him, they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." Amen. You guys all look so good in your suits and dresses. Maybe we should make it mandatory for every Sunday. Why don't we turn to one another and say, "He is risen." We learned this morning in our sunrise service through Pastor Mark's message that the very first Easter early morning, a group of women discover the big boulder that was covering the tomb where Jesus laid was rolled away. And you have heard me say this every Easter. Why was the stone rolled away? A lot of people don't understand. It was not in order for Jesus to get out of the tomb. If you read other gospel accounts, he went through walls and appeared when the doors were all locked. The stone was removed, so it was invitation to people, come and see the meaning. It invited the woman to look inside and had them wonder, what does this mean? We as a church has been following the footsteps of our Savior through the lenses of Luke, Monday through Thursday, through the Passion Week prayer meeting. Good Friday, we looked at Jesus encountering two convicted criminals on the cross. And this morning, Jesus encounters two more people. Not like Friday when he was dying on the cross. He appears to them as the resurrected Christ. Two people on the cross and two people on the road to Emmaus. What is the meaning? What is the meaning of this unique story that is only told by Luke, not other gospel writers? In order to understand the meaning, the empty tomb this morning, I divided the message into three parts. The first, hesitating disciples. And second, correcting Jesus. And third, knowing the resurrected Christ. I pray the Spirit would guide us to understand the meaning of empty tomb to this story. So we begin. Hesitating disciples, we're told in verse 13, that very day, that is Easter Sunday, the very first Easter, two of them, and we're told in verses 22 through 24, these were two followers of Jesus who were actually with the 11 on Good Friday. Two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So Luke discloses to us two disciples are going from one place to another. The question becomes, why were they heading to Emmaus from Jerusalem on Easter Sunday? Verses 14 through 15a. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened while they were talking and discussing together, Luke writes. So we're told on the road, the two followers of Jesus were talking and discussing about these things. And that's clearly referenced to in this passage, these things, reference to the events that has unfolded the last 2-3 days. These things, Jesus died on the cross. These things, early this morning, there was a testimony from the people that really we have trusted, and they said something about an empty tomb. Luke uses the word, the phrase, talking and discussing together here, where it communicates in other writings both intense and emotional discussion. Luke is letting us know, through this unique story, these two followers of Jesus were processing what they have recently witnessed with their very own eyes, and just recently heard through their ears, through the people who they trusted and did life together for the last 3 years. Talking and discussing with intensity and emotion because it affected them. Because they're saying to one another, tossing back and forth, you cannot deny Jesus' life. We have seen it. We have seen his power, miracles, and his authoritative teaching. It all points to Jesus is the promised Messiah that we've been waiting for. And yeah, we witnessed him 2 days ago. He died like a criminal on the cross. Now, some ladies are sharing with us they discovered the tomb empty. In other words, on this road to journey back home, the two were trying to make sense of it all. What this teaches us is that Christianity is not, quote, leap of faith, quote. A lot of people think Christianity is about no evidence, it doesn't make sense, just believe. But Christianity is actually all based on evidence of fact and logic. We learned this from Sunrise service. It was a beautiful service. Youth group led the praise time. In God's timing, I think we have a wonderful future. They were off key here and there, but who cares? That was beautiful. That was just beautiful. We learned from this Sunrise service message that there was clear evidence that no one can actually say no to the evidence of resurrection of Jesus. You see, Christian dialogue and discussion is actually a part of growing in the faith. These two, confused, couldn't make any sense of what was really going on, had a very emotional, intense discussion trying to process what has taken place and what have they heard. If this is true, we as a church, what we need is creating a safe space for one another to ask questions, to learn, to study, to pray, to encourage one another. We need safe space, then any question can be asked. Because if 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 is true, when Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. We do our labor, but it is God who makes it grow. If this is true, it makes sense to create safe space to share, question, ask. There was these three boys in the church that I learned for a long time. I call them three musketeers. You may know who they are. I wouldn't use the word three musketeers. I would use something else, but I don't want to make them feel bad. It's three stooges, I was thinking. These three boys, they fooled around all the time at church. They were getting into trouble, helped up at VVS, and they just left. Irresponsible. My question was, how would they turn out? Now, as young adults, loving Jesus as they can, as best as they can, and serving CEC, all three have to come to a place of confirmation, the last one a few weeks ago. You know why? Because there was a safe space that was given to them to be who they are, to work through their faith, patience with love and prayer. And who knows what God can do? Go from three musketeers and to become like Peter, John, and James, the inner circle of Jesus. Who knows? God makes it grow. So hesitating disciples, they're caught in trying to understand and process what they have witnessed and what they have heard. They're trying to really understand. Now, Jesus appears. And that's the second point, correcting Jesus. How does Jesus deal with doubting followers? Like, how does he deal with his followers who are weak, doubting? Look at verses 15 through 16. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing them. A little bit strange. Two disciples are walking, and we're told the resurrected Jesus joined them in their travel. And they began to have a conversation. And what Jesus noticed when he raised the question, we're told in verse 17b, they were sad. They're reminded what has transpired the last 2 days ago. They were sad because it seems like Rome got the last laugh. Jesus, one that they trusted, didn't seem like who he claimed to be. Confused. Now they hear about the empty tomb. So the question, why are they on the road to Emmaus? They're going home. They're going back to their normal life. They're not convinced, maybe even afraid to believe again, the testimony of the woman. What would the resurrected Lord do? How do you and I feel or respond when people doubt you? What is our normal behavior when people question your motive or your lack of ability to achieve something? How does Jesus deal with these two? We're told that Jesus does not appear with power, with thunder, with legions of angels to put them in their places. The resurrected Lord comes along, joins them in their journey as they are going heading home, and begin to ask questions. It's a bit confusing because Luke lets us know the disciples, the two, does not know who Jesus is, or at least not yet. But the readers, you and I, know more than the two disciples. So Luke is trying to communicate to you and I something about this encounter. And what is it? We're told in verses 17 and 18 that Jesus pretends that he has no idea what has transpired in the last 2 days in Jerusalem. And when the two disciples learns about this, they are shocked. They stop in the middle of the road, and they're sad, which leads to verses 19 through 24. One of the disciples, named Cleopas, starts to share about Jesus' work and his death and the possibility of the empty tomb. In his personal testimony, one crucial piece was incorrect. He shares concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet in deeds and words before God. The reason why Jesus pretended, did not disclose who he was at that moment, was actually to ask questions and to bring about their incorrect understanding. It was not to rebuke. It was to correct. Sometimes we don't know what we believe until we actually communicate. Did you know that? So Jesus discloses his reason for acting ignorance here. Look at verses 25 through 27. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted it to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." Here's the reason why Jesus is disclosing now and reveals why these two disciples are slow to understand what has transpired. Answer, their lack of understanding of the Old Testament teaching. And it led to a misunderstanding, expecting the wrong nature of the promised Messiah. So when he died on the cross, it didn't make sense to them. But Jesus points out the promised Messiah was communicated over and over in the Old Testament that there must be suffering before his glory. The whole scripture, Jesus says, from Moses, that's Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, and the prophets, Jesus said, the whole scripture is actually pointing to me. The cross before the exaltation. In other words, in front of them, to correct them, their wrong view of Jesus, the gospel was unpacked by Jesus from the Old Testament to these two confused followers. And Jesus says, the whole scripture communicating that this was God's plan all along. My son dying on the cross, he looks foolish, beaten, and mocked. This was not by chance. This was not God saying, what have I done? I fell asleep. It was planned from the very plain all along. The redemptive story of sinners to make them his sons and daughters was not to liberate Israel from Rome of human oppression, but from sin, spiritual bondage from Satan. And he unpacked that to them. And we're told, we'll see on the third point, their hearts were burning when they heard the gospel. So the question, how does the resurrected Jesus address the doubting and confused followers? He comes along the side, travels with them, and he opens the Bibles to them. And what these two does not realize is that the resurrected Lord is in the midst of them, walking with them, and they don't know yet. Maybe some of you are in this condition, trying to make sense of Christianity. Is everything my parents are teaching me here, is it true? I don't know. Their life doesn't really reflect that. Where are my children? Have they walked away from faith? Rest assured, they do not see it yet, but risen King Christ is walking with them and bringing people into their lives to open the scriptures to them. Some of you may not even know that God is walking with you. The hesitating disciples correcting Jesus now, knowing the resurrected Christ. Verses 28 through 29, we see that it indicates these two verses, the two disciples were so engaged when the risen King unpacked the Old Testament and shared the gospel, they actually plead with Jesus, they don't know yet, to stay with them. It's entering into evening. They ask to share a meal. And during the mealtime, the confused disciples who are now leaving everything from Jerusalem and now heading back home, their lives are forever changed. They never make it home. Look with me, verse 30 through 31. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. Look what Luke is disclosing to us. Their eyes were opened that they realized that they're sharing a meal with the risen Christ. The woman's testimony was true. When did this happen? When he, Jesus, took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. This is clearly Luke referring to the reenactment of Thursday evening when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, where he washed the feet of the disciples, even the two, one who will deny him and one who will sell him out. He washed their feet. And at that moment, there was an awakening because the image of the bread was broken and the juice as blood. It awakened the meaning of the cross and the resurrection in right front of these two disciples. The gospel opened their eyes. The broken body of Jesus, the shedding of his precious blood, and now he has risen, dining with them, in very front of them. And they were saying, it must be true. He did not come to overthrow Rome. He came to save sinners. He has risen. Have you noticed after the resurrection, all the accounts of Jesus told in the full gospel story, do you see how Jesus approaches them? Jesus appears to the disciples who abandoned them, hiding in fear. And he appears to them and he does not rebuke them and but simply says, Shalom, peace be with you. Jesus appears before Thomas, who's doubting. He is hurt. He is so affected by the Christ that he followed was crucified and died like a criminal, and his whole hope was dashed away. He said, I will never believe again. Jesus appears. What does he say? What's wrong with you, Thomas? No, he says, he grants him his wish. Touch my hand. Jesus appears to Peter, the courageous one. When push came to shove, he denied Jesus three times. He was so affected when the rooster crowed, he cried and wept in the morning. He was struggling with guilt and shame. What does Jesus do? He appears and cooks him a meal. That's friendship. And he offers to partake in the kingdom work. That's restoration. Every meeting of Jesus coming after being resurrected, he is communicating that his grace covers everything, all the doubts and guilt. I have poured the penalty for your sin, sin of abandonment, low loyalty, disappointment, and anger, and fear, and self-protection. Look at the cross. I'm here. The Bible teaches true repentance never comes with fear. Jesus did not appear to these people with thousands of legions, thunder and lightning. No, he simply appeared and extended his hands. His kindness leads to repentance, never fear. Did you wonder why when these disciples actually found out who this is the risen Christ, that he vanished right away? Have you noticed that? Is Jesus like some famous movie star trying to disclose his, her, whatever, ambiance, never be out in public? What Jesus was communicating, when their moments, their eyes were opened to the risen King, with the revelation, now Jesus is alive. His visible presence is no longer needed. God has given his word, the Bible. He has opened the scripture to them. This is me. You have the Bible with you now. Disciples are not abandoned because he is with them, with his word. Remember, look at verse 32. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture? They begin to understand the gospel. They begin to understand what Jesus did and why he came. They understood that on the cross, he bore all their sins, their past, present, and future. Knowing that everything the disciples would do, he still went to the cross and he came alive. The empty tomb communicates that Jesus' atoning death on the cross was perfect and sufficient. And that's why he says, it is finished. It is done. There's nothing that you can add to your salvation now. And this was the power of God, the cross. When they realize this, they don't go back home. Right away, we're told, in verse 33, they'd head back to Jerusalem to tell everyone that Jesus is indeed has risen. Dear church, today's Easter. The stone has been rolled away. It's an invitation to come and see. The question is now, what do you see? Some are hesitant disciples. Jesus didn't rebuke them. He came along the side, simply opened the gospel to them. Correcting Jesus, he opened the scripture, the gospel, and the Old Testament and the New Testament. And knowing Jesus, the resurrected King, that means our lives belongs to him. Jesus is patient with us. He comes alongside of us because he has redeemed you and I as sons and daughters. But it was costly. We have two baptism candidates today who have declared that God has disclosed the gospel in their heart through the Spirit's heart. We have been redeemed. And they're proclaiming to you and I and before God, my life is not my own. My life belongs to him. What about you? What about you and I? If you see the empty tomb, you cannot stay neutral. You either hate or you fall at your feet and worship. What do you see? Maybe some of you are here today trying to check out Christianity. What does that all mean? It was shared this morning. Do you ever ask the question why, when Jesus rose from the dead, the very first person that he appeared was a woman named Mary Magdalene? She was possessed by seven demons before God got a hold of her. You know, if God would have asked me, I don't think he would ever, but if he did ask me, I said, God, you know what my plan was? Jesus, when you're resurrected first, you appear before Pontius Pilate. See? Or if that doesn't work, you appear before religious leaders. See? Maybe the Roman soldiers. See? No, he appears to a Mary. A woman, unlikely witness to the world. Why? Because that is the embodiment of the gospel. He appears to those who are broken and poor in spirit. is open to any. Do you struggle with sin and guilt? Come and see. And come and rest. Those of you who are redeemed and this story is true, go live life for Christ. Radically, sacrificially, and even giving your life for his glory.